This is University of Arizona Wildcat Football. And this is the Brent Brennan Radio Show. Each week, the Wildcats head coach talks Wildcat football. You're always invited to join us at Union Public House for great food, football, and some fun. Now, Arizona Sports Enterprises presents the Brent Brennan Show. With the coach, here's your host, the voice of the Wildcats, Brian Jeffries.
All right. Hi again, everybody. Welcome back. Union Public House Monday night, which means we must be talking Wildcat football. We're going to do exactly that up until 7 o'clock tonight with head coach Brent Brennan. We've got a couple of special guests coming up as well. So thank you for joining us on an unusual wet day. The good news is we know it's not going to last forever, but it's nice to have some rain for a while. We'll hope that our landscaping is beneficial from that. Wildcats are on the road this week at Houston. It's an early game. And here's the crazy thing. You've got a road game, a bye week, and a road game. Wildcats will not play another home game until November 8th. It seems like it's going to be forever, but that's the way the schedule lays out, and they'll be ready to go this Saturday down in Houston. So, Coach, let's start out with the positives from this past weekend. It was a very exciting game. I mean, if you're a football fan, you had to love that game between Arizona and BYU going to double overtime, etc. And you had some outstanding individual performances. Like I said, we'll look at the other side of it in a moment, but I wanted to start out with Chris Hudson, his best game in a Wildcat uniform, 9 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, before we get to Hutt, I just wanted to thank everybody for showing up tonight. And also, Saturday night, I thought our fans were awesome. They stayed through the weather delay. I thought the Zona Zoo was great. I just really appreciated everybody kind of staying through thick and thin there. It was obviously a long night and a long game with the weather, but everybody kind of fought through it. And yeah. It was awesome. You know, when that stadium's rocking, our team feels that, and our team feeds off that. And it was big time on Saturday night, so we really appreciate everybody. Chris Hudson, we're excited about Chris. You know, he's finally healthy, and you can see him starting to, you know, make the plays that we think he's capable of making. I just expect his progress to just accelerate, and we expect big things with him over the next few weeks of this season.
And it was great to see Kid Rizzino, 90 yards, which is a season high for him. It just adds, I mean, we knew he was going to be part of the rotation. He's healthy now, and you got that three-man backfield, which has to be a comforting factor when you need them, right?
No, absolutely, yeah. All three of those guys can play, and they've all demonstrated that they can make big plays in games over the course of this year. Saturday night it was Kid, and, you know, he was getting it done, but we've had, you know, Ishmael Mahdi make big plays, and we've had Quincy Craig make big plays. So we feel great about that running back room. All those guys are just total diehard Wildcats and great team players, and they do a great job of balancing the reps and the opportunities in games. And, you know, eventually you end up going with the hot hand, which we did with Kid, and he made some plays.
On defense, Tay Brown, 14 tackles in the game on a Saturday. And you add to that, your team now leads the Big 12 in tackles for loss, leads the Big 12 in interceptions, and you know, but I wanted to ask you about Tay first of all, because he had such a big game.
Yeah, Tay is one of those, you know, obviously he's an Arizona kid, and it's so important for us to do a great job recruiting the state of Arizona and getting the good players in the state of Arizona to you know, stay in state and come down here to Tucson and play for the Wildcats. And he's been, you know, he's one of those players who's like consistently one of our highest level practice players every single day. He is the definition of red line. And then it shows up in a game, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, hard work works, and Tay is a great example of that. He's a leader on our football team, and you know, the good thing is that he's also, you know, he's still not an old player. You know, he's still got a little bit of time with Tay, so we love Tay. We're excited about it. The progress he continues to make, and he seems to just bring that physicality and that love of the game every day.
Defensive sacks, something that always comes up when the statistics are looked at, but I wanted to ask you about the tackles for loss, because they couldn't be equally as important. And like I said, your team now leads the Big 12 in that department. And how has the defense gotten that done?
Well, I think, you know, Coach Gonzalez has done a fantastic job with the scheme and just all the other pieces that are part of that. But, you know, that's you know, those things happen because we're also getting great coverage from the secondary, okay, right? So the guys in the back end are doing a great job, you know, covering people for long enough for our guys to get home. And then I also think Coach Salavea is doing a great job coaching our defensive line. And so we're seeing great production out of those guys. And obviously, pressure on the quarterback and getting the quarterback to move off his spot is really important part of how we want to play. And obviously, so far, we've had some success doing that.
All right. Well, Saturday was, like I said, it was a great game if you're just a football fan and you like to see it. But it was a tough loss. There's no doubt about that. But you took a really good team down to the wire. So, you know, how do you take the positives out of that now when you get back to practice tomorrow?
Well, that's exactly what you do, is you take the positives and you have to learn from it. You have to learn the things that we didn't get done late in that game to close it out. And, you know, there's no consolation in going to double overtime with a, you know, highly ranked football team, right? You're trying to win. And so that part of it. But I think the good thing is that these players are so committed, how they responded yesterday. We had great team meetings. We had great position meetings. We had a good kind of workout post-game, you know, workout for them. And these guys are ready to go. And I'm excited for practice tomorrow. I can't wait. And I think they're excited too.
This is I'll call it a more mature team than last year's team, and which is a good thing because you've got some older guys. Like you said, you got some young guys, but you got some older guys that maybe have been through tough situations before. How does that help them and maybe them help the younger guys understand that we've got half the season left to go here?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big part of it. You know, it's so important that your guys that have, you know, played in a lot of games in college football or have been just, you know, in college football for a long time, that they are great voices for you with your football team and great voices for you with your players. And we have a lot of that when you think about all those guys in the secondary. Dalton, who continues to play at a really high level, Genesis, Stukes, like those guys are such great voices for us on offense. Obviously, Fafita is one of those guys. Transfer Max Harris is a great voice for us. Rhino. So those are the guys that have to consistently help those young guys understand what it is. It's a long season, and really the only way that you can look at it is one week at a time. And so, you know, I'm answering all these questions about BYU, but we're past that now, right? We're on to the next thing, because the next thing is a huge challenge. We're playing a 5-1 team on the road, and it's a big game.
It is a big game, and it will kick off at 9 a.m. Arizona time this Saturday from Houston, Texas. We'll be on the air at 7:30 in the morning, so we'll make sure you set your alarm clock, and this will be a good one, Arizona, Houston. More on that coming up. We're at Union Public House with head coach Brent Brennan. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, welcome back again to Union Public House, our weekly visit with head coach Brent Brennan. More coming up. We've got two special guests ahead of us as well. And we'll tell you about that coming up in just a couple minutes. I do want to remind everybody that next week is a bye week. So Saturday, the Wildcats play at Houston. The following Saturday, they are off. So we will not be here next Monday as per usual. The coaches are going to be out recruiting and everything that they need to do to keep things rolling down in the office. And then the following Monday, we will not be here because there's a basketball game. So our next show here will be Tuesday, October 28th. So mark that on your calendar, Tuesday, October 28th. That's the next time we'll be back here after tonight, of course. All right, Coach, I want to jump ahead to Houston because similar stories here. Coaching staff Willie Fritz, Brent Brennan, second year in their respective programs. Both teams went 4-8 last year. Both have turned it around this year. What has done it? We know what's done it for your team. What has done it for Houston?
Well, first of all, Coach Fritz is a really fantastic football coach. And, you know, obviously he's won at every level he's ever been on. And he's really just a good dude. And so it's been fun to get to know him over the last year and a half and being in the Big 12. What they've done is they've found a way to play really clean defense. They're multiple. They're aggressive. They got a great defensive front. They got some length and some speed and they're physical. So, you know, they've kind of done it old school, which is like kind of how we're building it too, I think, in some ways. And then offensively, they have a dynamic player, quarterback. They got a couple big body receivers and a good running back. And so, like, for them, you know, that part, those things coming together has led to the success that they've had.
I'm not going to say that recruiting is easier anywhere than another place, but in the state of Texas, there's a lot of talent there. You know, some of the bigger name schools, A&M, et cetera, you know, Texas, of course, they seem to be able to find maybe the best. But then the other schools, and Houston probably a good example, is there still plenty of talent there, and is that one way they've been able to build their program is because of the Texas-based talent?
Yeah, absolutely. I think they're doing a really good job recruiting. And also in the city of Houston, there is a lot of really good high school football, you know what I mean? So they have it in the state, but then also like proximity to their institution, they do have a lot of really good football players. I mean, one of our best players is from down there, right, Dalton? Mm-hmm. Dalton Johnson from down there. So, no, it's impressive, and I think that's one of those things that when you're in this conference, the Big 12, is every week is a battle. Like I keep saying that, and people look at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, no, every week is an absolute dogfight in this conference. And that was last week, and it's going to be this week, and it's just the way that the conference is built.
All right, you mentioned earlier today that because of the schedule and so on, you guys won't do any recruiting Friday night when you get to Houston. You've got an early game on Saturday. But I just wanted to ask you about, you know, moving to the Big 12 and playing games in the state of Texas, being in the same conference with teams in the state of Texas, How does that help in terms of just your connections recruiting-wise with that state?
No, it's actually been quite good for us. You know, we have some good young players in the program that have come from the state of Texas that we're all really excited about. And I think, you know, because you're always going to play games in the state of Texas, so those families know that you're going to be coming back there to watch, you know, they can see their son play in state. And there also might be something that's bringing them to the University of Arizona. They might love Tucson. They might love the university. They might want to be in, you know, in a little, you know, less humidity. I don't know. Yeah. You know what I mean? But there's, you know, people, you know, and lots of times players choose people, you know, so sometimes one coach is a better fit for a player than another. And so as you're going through the recruiting process, that's, you know, the state of Texas is going to be an important place for us. It always starts with the state of Arizona for us. Always starts with the state of Arizona. But because we're located, it gives us great access to the state of Texas because it's an easy flight and there's direct flights here into Tucson. And then also California, Utah, you know, so like that part of it in terms of building it, it's so important, but it is a luxury to be playing games in the state of Texas.
I think I asked you this last week. It's a 9 a.m. kickoff Arizona time. It's 11 o'clock in Houston on Saturday. Will you have your players just set their clocks to Arizona time? Because they practice at 9 a.m. Yeah. in the morning anyway, right?
Yeah, it's not like in terms of the timeline for them, it's not that different.
Okay.
Right, because we practice every day. An 11 a.m. kickoff there is 9 o'clock here. We'd be getting on the field, you know, shortly thereafter. So we are a morning team. I like it for our body. You know, just our body clocks are used to that. We're used to kind of getting up and getting to work. And so the biggest thing is going to be just like how diligent is our team as we get later in the week, going to bed, right, eating well, hydrating, getting ready to go down there and play in a little bit of heat, a little bit of humidity in an early morning game.
All right, Cats and the Cougars coming up on a Saturday at Houston. More with head coach Brent Brennan coming up. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, we continue from Union Public House with head coach Brent Brennan. It's a Monday night. There's two more NFL games going on tonight, two baseball playoff games tonight. And for us diehard Mariner fans, I will use three words, and if you're a diehard fan, you will know these words. My, oh, my. Because they're up 2-0 on the Blue Jays. All right, on and back to football. Coach, question from the audience. Do you feel that your team was less aggressive in play calls in the last two offensive possessions of regulation?
So our last two offensive possessions, absolutely less aggressive, because the second to last situation is we're trying to run the clock out. They have three timeouts. We're trying to eat up as much clock, or we're trying to force them to use their timeouts, right? And so as that's going on, talking with the team, talking with Coach Deggy, that we ran the ball on first and second down, and we got stuffed. And on the second down play, we really had a good box to run into, right? So you're counting defenders, football, run game. You're always trying to have more blockers or enough blockers to match the defenders they have, in simplest terms. So we had a good box count to run, but we got beat at one spot, and we got tackled for a 2-yard gain or a 1-yard gain. And so now on third down, we're like, okay, we need to throw for it. Let's put it in Noah's hands, and let's try and get it. And they ran a good stunt. Their defensive end looped around the center, and KD missed it, and he just came by him really fast. And so then that caused Noah to have to get flushed. And then, you know, in that moment, we just didn't have it. He didn't have a great throw, and he was off schedule. And it's hard because with Noah, you like him when he's off schedule. Like that's when he makes some of his most magical plays. If you think a week ago on the play that he threw to Luke Weisong against Oklahoma State, right, he made four people miss. He delivered a perfect strike that went for a 60-yard touchdown, and he got hit by three people as soon as he threw it. So you like that with him. In that moment, then obviously, you know, they still have their timeouts, and we only got them to burn one. And then the next drive was when we chose to take a knee at the end of regulation, which I know made a lot of people upset. I have good thoughts about why we did it, okay? Number one, all right, we are playing the eighth-ranked defense in the country. We are not playing a high school football team. We are playing the eighth-ranked defense in the country. They have a fantastic defensive front. We're having trouble blocking number 16. All right, so I'm like, okay, what's the worst thing that can happen here? Sack fumble, right? They get the ball on the 25-yard line, kick field goal, end the game. Or we throw an interception, right? And so thinking about that, I was like, okay, because they're going to play a kind of coverage that's going to have a little bit more depth, and they're going to drop eight defenders. They're only going to rush three, right? So that's the chess game of football. And so in that moment, I was like, okay, let's take a knee. Let's go win it in overtime. And so were those two series conservative? Yes, because we were trying to – in the last one, we're trying to get into overtime, but the first one, we're trying to run out the clock and trying to get BYU to use their timeouts.
Very good. Well, I think that answers everybody's question. Very, Very clear. Another one here. Do you agree with the two interference calls in the second overtime? You can't answer that because I don't want you to get you in trouble. So we'll just say that the officials do the best jobs they can.
Yes.
And your team, by the way, and we made too much of a big deal about it early, so I'll make a big deal out of it now. Last three games, your team has cut way down on penalties
right.
in each game. And so credit to your staff for getting that done.
Absolutely. I think it's showing up in our offensive line. I think they're doing a nice job. You know, the offensive line, I think, is making good progress, and it's exciting to see, you know, that our team discipline continues to improve, and we've been fortunate that way.
Is it a case, and you had new guys in the offensive line, of course, and we talk about it all the time, that's a unit. They play as a unit. There's five individuals, but the fact now that they've gotten this far into this season, do you kind of see that synergy between them and even with the couple of guys that come in reserve?
Yeah, absolutely, and I think, you know, we do have a little bit of depth there, which we feel great about because we've had some guys get beat up and other guys had to step in and play. But those guys are warriors, man. Those guys are, you know, continue to compete every day out there, and I thought they did a nice job the other night protecting Noah against a really good defensive front. And so we were excited about that, and I think they're improving. Now, every week is a new opportunity, and this Houston team gives you some trouble up front. But I'm excited. I think Coach Oglesby's doing a great job coaching that O-line.
All right, one other quick question about Houston. You talked about some of their strengths, their personnel, et cetera. I mean, is there a style of play that they have that you haven't seen before this season?
No, I don't. I mean, I
know you mentioned today that they have a mobile quarterback. It seems every week we're talking about a dual-threat quarterback.
That's right. That is much more common now than it used to be. You don't see as many pure pocket passers anymore. But this kid's dangerous with the ball in his hands. He's dangerous throwing it. He's dangerous running it. You know, I think in terms of them defensively, I think they do a really good job just, you know, being multiple in how they want to pressure the quarterback and the simulated pressures and that kind of stuff. So it's a real challenge.
All right. One more segment with Coach. Then we got a couple special guests. Tell you about that when we come back. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, back here at Union Public House. One more segment here with head coach Brent Brennan before we bring up our guest tonight, Arizona and Houston coming up. All right, this is kind of a basic question, but I know the fans are thinking this. You're 4-2 halfway through the season. If you go 4-2 in the second half, I mean, we'd rather you go 6-0, but if you go 4-2, you finish 8-4, you go to a nice bowl game, and it's a great leap forward for the program. I know you want to win them all, and that's the idea starting Saturday, but do you have midway through the season? Can you kind of give us a midway grade for your team right now?
That's a good question. I like where we're at. I think our process, you can see signs that it is moving the right direction. We're playing better football. I think we're playing our butts off. I think that part of it, like the effort and the red line that we talk about is actually showing up on game day, and you're seeing some consistency with that. I think, you know, for all of us right now, we're still sick because of two nights ago. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just how that ended. But I do believe in our process. I think we have an outstanding coaching staff. I think we have great alignment. I think that I really believe the program is moving the right direction. And so, you know, that, you know, everybody wants to like talk about all these like games that are like a month from now. Like, coaches don't think that way. Mm-hmm. You know, all we're thinking about, like, I'm going back to the office after this to go work on Houston. You know what I mean? Like all we're thinking about is tomorrow's practice and how prepared we can get our guys for this really important game on the road this week.
I want to go back to the word you just mentioned, their effort. I know it's part of the red line and so on, but you have to have that from the players.
Yep.
And, you know, that's not always an easy thing to do. But the week of practice leading up to a game, when you're watching guys in practice, is the effort equally – I mean, you want to see it in practice.
Yep.
Of course, you want to see it in the game, but how important is it in practice?
Yeah, if we don't see it in practice, we're not putting them out there on game day.
All right.
And I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't practice with that kind of effort, if Redline doesn't show up, and that's not just effort, right? That's execution. That's accountability. Like, if you're not playing with great effort, if you're not executing your individual role or your individual details at a high level, and if you're not accountable for what you're putting on the film, like, we're not going to put you in the game, right? So those players have to earn it every single day. And I like that about our team because they're here for it. They want to do that.
And that's one thing. And, again, I'm just standing on the sidelines, and I've never coached football, but watching – practice in August, that's one thing that stood out to me was I didn't see a bad practice. And I know you guys look at it differently, but I just thought, well, these guys are, I mean, they're serious about it. They're working hard. And usually that leads to good things. So has that been kind of from day one?
Yeah, I think this team, I think because we do have great, we have a great coaching staff, and I think the players all have, we have really good relationships with our players, and I think there's a lot of trust there. And so those players are willing to be pushed in the practice environment, and they're willing to be coached really hard. And, you know, being the really high standard has been set for what that energy and that effort and practice should look like. And those, and to the players' credit, they've been doing it, and they keep showing up with that same intensity, that same excitement for the work that helps give us a chance to play the kind of football we want to play. And that started, and you saw that, and I felt like that started in spring practice, but it carried through fall camp, and then, you know, we are where we are right now. But I'm excited about this team. We have great kids in the program. These kids love the U of A. All these kids chose to be here. They chose to stay here, right? I think that part of it can't be said enough in the transfer portal world and rev share and NIL and all that stuff. And so we're excited about this team. We're excited about where we're going. But we know we got work to do because we didn't get it done two nights ago.
Okay.
Right? So we got work to do.
Lyle Moabau is your assistant coach on offense. You had him with you at San Jose State. You've known him for a long time. Tell us about Lyle. And I'll ask him about his specific duties, but kind of what he's brought to the program.
Yeah, Lyle is an outstanding football coach. You might not know it, but Lyle was an all Pac-10 quarterback at Oregon State University. Back in his playing days, yeah, he was a hell of a player, and it's been great because, you know, he's done a couple of different jobs, you know, since we've been working together. He was on, when we were at San Jose State, he was on defensive side of the ball for 1 year. I was really just wanted to get Lyle as a person and as a football guy in the building, and so I had to make it work initially. And then when we came here, he was someone that I knew had to be a part of this thing because he's an incredibly cerebral football coach, but he also is someone that has great energy. He connects with the players on a super high level. He's a hell of a recruiter. So he brings a lot to the table, and we're really lucky to have him here. And I know that, like, the players and the coaching staff, everyone loves Lyle. Like, it's hard not to love Lyle
Moabau. Okay.
All right. I'm just telling you, it's hard not to love this dude. All everyone right. loves him.
We're going to have Lyle up here in a moment, and then Rita Stubbs is going to join us, the head volleyball coach at the U of A. Do you know how talented Rita is? Outside of volleyball, she's an outstanding volleyball coach. Do you know any of her other talents?
Well, I've seen her dance.
Yes.
I've seen her sing.
There you go.
She has got the best energy in the athletic department.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, Rita is like 100% just carries the juice nonstop, and she is so fun to be around, and it's awesome to see what she's doing with the volleyball program.
I don't know if Grant's still here, the owner. I don't know if he's licensed for dancing and singing tonight. I'm going to have to – we'll check with him later, okay? Coach, thanks as always. Best of luck this week at Houston. Let's get a win down there.
Okay? Thank you. Bear down.
Right. Head coach Brent Brennan here at Union Public House. We'll meet Lyle when we come back. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right, we continue from Union Public House, our weekly visit with head coach Brent Brennan and special guest. Wildcats at Houston coming up on Saturday. I'll remind you again, we'll get back to it at the end of the show. We're back here on Tuesday, October 28th. That'll be our next show here at Union Public House. Pleased to be joined by Lyle Moabau. He is the assistant coach for offense for the Wildcats. Was with head coach Brent Brennan at San Jose State. Second year now on the U of A roster. And before we even get to this season and anything, as coach mentioned, Lyle was a quarterback at Oregon State. And in his 4 years there, I have to say, you know, I just got to get this out here. The Beavers were 3-1 against the Wildcats. So we're glad you're now here in the Cardinal and Navy. Thank
yes,
you
sir.
Very much.
So, happy to be here. Happy to be here.
All right. The one loss, though, was your senior season in Corvallis.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy that started quarterback for Arizona, it was his first start in an Arizona uniform. Do you remember who it was?
Nick Foles.
Nick Foles. That's right.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah. He's done okay for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did.
Shabby.
Okay. All right. Well, Lyle, it's great to have you along. So I want to just go to the basics, start out. Assistant coach for offense, so take us through your duties on a day-to-day basis.
Well, you know, a lot of it consists of just kind of the support role of being assigned for different things such as film breakdown, opponent breakdown, getting ready for the upcoming opponent, as well as getting things ready as far as putting in different thoughts for, you know, what we're going to do during practice as far as the drill work and some of that. And then it can range from that, anything as far as hands-on to being able to give a few thoughts with Coach Carter, Coach Oglesby in the protection world, you know, being in the running back room with Coach Carter and just little things like that. So it kind of varies from day to day, but for the most part, it's something that I enjoy. It helps to obviously molded me into something that, you know, a better coach. The more tasks you take on, it really tests your, you know, if whether you're able to handle it. And then obviously switching into the running back room compared to quarterbacks, it's truly a different world of seeing coverage from the quarterback's perspective. And now, you know, you work into the running back room with Coach Carter, and now it's more of the attention and the focus is on what's happening with the guys in the trenches, the linebackers, and things like that. So something I was familiar with as I played the quarterback position, but it definitely takes me back to being accountable for all 11 guys on the defense and knowing, you know, what they're doing and why they're doing it.
Sure. Take us through when you break down film and you're looking at the opposing team. Mm-hmm. I mean, what specific things as you chart that? What are you looking for tendencies and
big
so
time.
On?
Okay. Big time. I think, you know, for the most part, it's kind of a general thought across the country. I think for the most part, everybody's got their ways of doing things. But I know for sure it's tendencies, not just with the opposing team, but also with ourselves. You know, what are we putting on film? Just like they're putting it on film, and then, you know, how can we set it to where it's the best way possible to be able to attack on Saturdays.
How have analytics changed since you were a player and now as a coach in terms of what you use in preparing for an opponent?
I mean, analytics is everywhere. I think it's obviously involved with the breakdown of the X's and O's schematics, but you can even take it as far as the sports science part of it. And what players are seeing now with the feedback that they're getting from our catapult devices that track literally every step that they take during practice, how many times they've exhaled and desailed. So, I mean, when you talk about analytics, it's just it's a whole another level that it was, you know, I don't want to say how many years ago when I was playing, but yeah. You understand that.
I got it. All right. So this year's Arizona team, you've been here for a couple of years now. This year's Arizona team, I'll just talk offense for a moment, has more depth than a year ago. How has that worked to the advantage of the team and the coaches as they prepare each week?
Yeah, I think the depth is definitely a big thing, especially with the type of opponents that we have in conference. I mean, you're going to get banged up, you know, week in and week out. And, you know, a lot of the times that depth part is important as far as not just having depth, but having quality of depth. I think having everyone in tune with the game plan, having everyone physically and mentally prepared for whether they're in or not, just having that next man up mentality, I think goes a long way just because, like I said, it's such a physical game on Saturdays. I mean, we just went through one not too long ago. And so, I think that's definitely important in this day and age.
All right, give us your scouting report on the Houston defense that you've seen.
I think schematically, they definitely got a lot of different things. They've got a defensive coordinator that came from the University of Florida and things like that. So he's obviously got a good resume of knowing what he's doing and why he's doing it. And so I think, you know, with so many different things that they do on defense, we just got to make sure that we're in tune to what we want to do, why we're doing it, and then making sure that all 11 guys are doing the same thing.
So, I mean, we talk about this all the time, scouting other teams and how much film and how far back you go. So you mentioned a new defensive coordinator there. So do you even look at Houston last season, or is it just the first game, six games this season?
Yeah, I think you could always look back to the previous years, no matter what the coordinator is or not, because essentially you still have the same players. So there still is a little bit of a personnel breakdown to it, but for the most part, you take that with a grain of salt, knowing that there have been coaching changes and position changes amongst the staff.
So even though Houston's had some personnel changes on the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football, last year Arizona won the game here over Houston and won it decisively. Again, do you look at much at that? Do you look at that any differently, I guess, than any other game?
I think you do look at it different because in this world you know, Coach Brennan mentioned it about the portal, you know, when it comes to personnel, that could be completely different. I think, you know, you look at our own team and we've got, you know, almost half the team is new. So, to be able to look at it, you know, with a grain of salt and understand things can change and things have changed since last year.
We were talking before we went on the air here about, of course, Lyle played in the good old days of the conference, and not that these aren't good days now. It's a great conference to be in.
100%.
But I got to ask you, just personally, and I think other people are interested too, when the Pac-12 broke up, what went through your mind?
It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking, man. So much history, so many good teams, so many good, you know, games and championships, and just to know that you know, it all came apart and you know, it is what it is. You have no control over it. But being a part of that history it definitely hit home a little bit as far as knowing that that thing's not around anymore or it's not what it used to be.
Right. So you played against Arizona. Of course, once you graduated from Oregon State, you've been in coaching. And so even though it may not have been against Arizona, but I'm always curious about your image of Arizona football over the years before you actually got here.
Arizona was Tucson. I mean, Tucson itself, from the time you arrived, and I remember like it was yesterday as I played. I remember getting off the plane and just thinking, man, it is hot. It is hot. It's just like not a fun feeling to once you step off. This is coming off the plane.
Yeah.
So right off the back, as an opponent coming into Tucson, there's already a mental challenge in your head as a player. And then obviously, you know, you try to get over it as much as possible. As a coaching staff, we're always trying to prepare our guys walking into the environment of what we're going to be in, trying to get them over that mental hump. But that, I mean, there, you could do everything you want, but until you actually arrive there as an opponent. So coming into Tucson, I was like, wow, this is different. And then obviously you get into game time and you start to try to do all your pregame, you know, routine of getting used to the environment and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I mean, the Zona Zoo is another part of it too. And it's not nearly what it is now, what it used to be, you know, so it's crazy now. It's even rowdier than it was before. And so I just think all those different elements just adds to the game day challenge for anybody that comes into Tucson, which is awesome.
Yeah. All right, Lyle Moivoa is our guest. He's assistant coach for our offense for the University of Arizona. One more thing before we let you go, Lyle, and that is just in terms of and we don't ask you to give away anything, but some of the keys for the Arizona offense this week against that Houston defense.
I think the biggest key is very similar to the one that it was last year. The keys to victory is the physical part of it. I think the physicality, obviously the preparation and the recovery is just as important because you can't be physical if you're banged up and you're not 100%. So I think preparation, being ready for the physical battle, and then obviously handling the environment, being on the road.
Absolutely. Lyle, great to have you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks
for having me.
Good luck. All right. Lyle Moivoa, our guest. When we come back, going to meet Rita Stubbs, head volleyball coach at the UA. That's next. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. All right. Welcome back to Union Public House. Talking Wildcat Football and volleyball tonight. We're pleased to welcome Rita Stubbs, head coach of the UA women's volleyball team. You know her as head coach. Of course, she's been part of the program for over 20 years now. Played for Dave Rubio, assistant coach under And I saw Dave a couple weeks ago. We can't get rid of him. The guy comes to McHale and works out. And, well, one of our favorite people, I know.
Yes, love Dave.
All right, your team's coming off a great win over the 16th-ranked Baylor Bears last week at McHale Center. Did it in straight sets. So I know that was big for your team and the program. Got a lot of volleyball left to play this year, but maybe just take us through that match and some of the keys to the win.
Well, after our disappointing loss against Colorado on Wednesday, we just recharged and got together and said that we have to do the little things to become better against a team that's ranked. You know, one of the nice things about the Big 12 Conference is there's a lot of opportunity to kind of move up. Mm-hmm. And after last season, it was something that we spent a lot of time focusing on and being prepared for. And, you know, Baylor came out, and we knew we had to do certain things in order to put ourselves in a position to be successful, and we followed the scouting report.
So you're five matches into conference play. And I just want to mention the jump forward the Wildcats have made a year ago at this time. They were 1-4, got hot, of course, down the end of the season, had a great finish, and we know about the championship, et cetera. And now this year, 3-2 so far, so a big improvement to get out of the gate. What's made the difference now in conference play for your team?
Well, one of the things that we focused on was being more competitive in terms of who we played in preseason. That was some of the feedback that we got from the NCAA tournament in terms of being selected and not being selected. So we knew that we had to go in and play tougher competition, put ourselves in a position that we were ready to go against Big 12 play. But I can tell you that our conference is very competitive this year and a lot of opportunities for us to excel.
All right. Well, one of your star players, and she was – huge in that win over Baylor was Jordan Wilson. So tell us about her and why she's been so important and so effective for your team.
You know, Jordan is a dynamic athlete. Anytime anyone watches us play, that's number five. Everyone knows who she is, and, you know, she gets those plays that are pretty unbelievable at times. And the problem for Jordan sometimes is that everyone keys in on her. But there are certain athletes that are made for situations like that, and Jordan is one of them.
All right. I had a chance last week. Everybody listened to our broadcast at halftime. Carly Cisneros was our guest. We had taped the interview, of course, before Saturday. And I was delighted getting to know her. She's from Kansas. She had her big family contingent when you traveled back there. And just hearing from the things that she enjoys outside of volleyball. But volleyball first, to you, Rita. I mean, tell us about her contributions to the program. She's young, only a sophomore, right?
Right, right. Carly is the catalyst of our program. So she's the person that you have to have on the floor. She graduated high school early, came in, and she was someone I couldn't get off the floor right off the bat. She can do a little bit of everything, and teams that are successful have to have players that are capable of doing that. And one of the things that when I started recruiting once I took over for Dave was to get athletes that knew how to win, came from accolades, Gatorade Player of the Year, won club tournaments, won state championships, because winning is something that's contagious. Unfortunately, losing is as well. But I wanted to gather athletes that knew how to win, and Carly was the top of my list.
I think in every sport we always talk about, okay, how soon can a player contribute when they get on campus? When you recruit players, are your expectations, I know there's individuals there, but do you look at players that are ready to go as a freshman, or do you look at some and say, okay, this might be a building process?
In an ideal world, you want players that can get on the floor now. Times have changed. Athletes don't want to sit back and wait. You know, there was a time where you would wait 2 years or redshirt and knew you had to wait your turn. Now they don't want to wait their turn. So you have to have athletes that can contribute in some shape, form, or fashion right off the bat.
When I was talking to Carly last week, I just asked her, okay, who's the craziest, funniest teammate? And she said Haven Ray. Now, she didn't go into any details, so, and that was my fault. I should have asked her. But I'll ask you, Rita, what makes Haven kind of the off-court leader, maybe, the team?
Yes. She's an energizer bunny, for one, but the fact that we call her Danger.
Danger.
Okay. Yeah. So when she serves, everyone goes, Stranger, Danger.
Oh.
And the reason why is because she convinced her classmates that her real name was Danger, and she got her dad in on it, and so it just became contagious. So when you guys see her, just say, hey, Danger, what's up? And
okay.
It'll be very surprising to her.
Well, and Halloween's right around the corner, so
yes, that'll
fit in well. All right. You've got a very challenging couple of about 10 days coming up here. You're going to go to UCF, and for those that don't know, that's in Orlando, Florida. That's on Friday. Then Sunday to Houston, and then the following Thursday at Iowa State before back here on October 25th. That's a Saturday against the team from up north, 6 o'clock, and everybody better be there at McHale Center. But this is a big stretch, a tough stretch for any team to play three straight road games, and they're not. It's not like they're just the next state over. So tell us about preparations for the next 10 days.
You know, our preseason put us in a position to be prepared for this. We had a week span. We were 3 weeks on the road on the weekend. And so we go up to Central Florida to play. We'll take off on Thursday, play them on Friday. The nice thing is we can fly out of Phoenix, a nonstop flight. We get there, compete, and then we'll get on the plane on Saturday. I'll get on the plane early because I'm going to the football game. So I'll be there to – you know, give shout out to our team, because I think that's really important when we get a chance to stick together. And then we'll, you know, watch the game together as a team and then be ready to play on Sunday against Houston and then fly home and then go off again to Iowa State. But we talk about it all the time. I'm the type of person, I don't hold anything back. There's no secrets. And we talk about the challenges that's ahead, but you can't be more tired than the next person. So I don't give excuses, so I don't do excuses.
So you mentioned the competitive nature of the Big 12. I mean, you've been at this is now your second year in it. I mean, how tough is the conference just as a whole compared to the previous conference, let's say?
The
previous was pretty good.
Pac-12 was really competitive. Pac-10, I know you asked Lyle this question. I feel bad when the Pac-10 went away as well. You know, there was a lot of memories there dearing to the heart. But the reality is, you know, every conference you go in, there's competition. You know, with the transfer portal and the extended years the athletes had, it puts teams in a different mindset and a different place. And I think that it's important to know that every team, I think we're the top 12, is high in the RPI. And that's what you want. There's 15 programs. Cool. So that tells you a lot about our conference.
All right. If I picked up a volleyball stat sheet, and I'm going to admit I don't know what everything is on that sheet, so you tell me what are the most important statistics when I look at the stat sheet for your team.
The most important thing that you see is the setting. You know, how many assists per game is she giving out? You look at basketball, how many times can a, you know, point guard dish the ball off, if you want to make that comparison. And then you want to look at the attack percentages. It's comparable to baseball in that sense. So you want anyone in the 300s and above, they're pretty exceptional.
So aces,
ace to error ratio is what you want. You want more aces than errors, and you want to get as many digs as possible. But the reality is, the better blocking team you are, the lower digs that you have. But if you're not that good of blockers, you want high digs. Very rarely will you be high in both of those.
Is every player, especially your front line, I mean, are they trying to spike the ball every time?
They're trying to terminate every single time. No free balls, no free lunches.
All right. Well, Rita, congratulations. Great start to the conference season and the season as a whole. We wish you best of luck on the upcoming road trip, and we'll see you back here again Saturday, October 25th, Arizona State in town, 6 o'clock. Be at McHale Center for that.
Be Cody there. Craig. Yes.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Thank
Rita.
You.
All right. Rita Stubbs, head volleyball coach at Arizona. We'll be back to wrap up the football portion in a moment. Oh, I do need to tell you this before we take the break. Dusk Music Festival back November 15th and 16th. You can see G-Eazy, D'Oro, Loud Luxury, Enzo, Levity, plus local food, art, and more. 2 days, 4 stages, 1 massive party. It's all downtown. Get your tickets at duskmusicfestival.com. That'll be a great time. And we're back in a moment. This is Wildcat Football from Arizona Sports Enterprises. Four Big 12 teams ranked in the AP Top 25 this week. Texas Tech unbeaten moves up to number 7. BYU unbeaten is now number 15. Utah 23. And Cincinnati number 24. Not a full slate this weekend. There is the Holy War going on. And now that Utah's ranked, the Utes are number 23, BYU number 15. That's going to be in Provo on Saturday. That's probably the highlight game of the weekend, along with Arizona and Houston. And again, that game's going to kick off from Houston starting at 9 a.m. Arizona time. And if you're headed down there or listening in down in the great state of Texas, that's an 11 o'clock kickoff Central time, so a little longer to sleep in. There are a couple other key matchups around the country I wanted to mention. These are ranked teams, LSU at Vanderbilt. You've got Ole Miss at Georgia, Tennessee at Alabama, and USC at Notre Dame. The Trojans moving into the rankings after their win this past weekend. So that's what's going on. Reminder, once again, we will not be here next week due to the bye week. And the following Monday, there's Arizona basketball against Embry-Riddle. So our next show here at Union Public House will be on Tuesday, October 28th, same time, same channel, 6 to 7 on Tuesday the 28th. Hope you can join us then. Thanks for tuning in, and for everybody here at Union Public House, thanks for dropping on by. Bear down.
The Brett Brennan Radio Show is a production of Arizona Sports Enterprises. You're invited to join us in person each week at Union Public House in Tucson. Follow the Wildcats throughout the season on this station of the Wildcats Radio Network.